Hello and welcome to the Intentional Manifestation Podcast, where we talk about all of the things that help us to manifest an aligned life that's beyond our wildest dream. My name is Megan, and I'm your host for this podcast. I use neuroscience, epigenetics, somatics, energetics, and holistic nutrition to help my clients completely shift their perspective so they can transform their life. To align your life with your dreams, check out my self-paced coaching program that also gives one-on-one coaching support. For just $47 per month, cancel anytime. You can find the link in the description.
Hello. Oh my gosh. Welcome back. I am so pumped to be here at the first podcast for January. It's my first full week back into the office, and I am so happy to be here. I am just turning my phone off there so we don't get any more little dings. And oh, I just feel so good. You know, it's January, and we're stepping into the idea of what this year can be for us. Who do we want to become? You know, a lot of people talk about change, and there is definitely change involved, but that doesn't mean that we are changing who we are. We're not taking away from who we are to become this completely new person. You know, we're not creating something that doesn't already exist, because the future version of us does already exist on a different timeline. What we are stepping into is that future version of who we want to become, who our most whole version of us is. Because when we start to release our limiting beliefs and we see the world differently and we take on a new perspective, that is us becoming more whole, because we're letting go of those things that have been holding us back, that we've been stuck in, those traumas. And we are completing that with more positive, more restructured beliefs instead, more aligned beliefs. We get to create any life that we want to have for ourselves. And because we can see that life and that version of us who exists, it already exists. And that is what is so special about this world of manifestation and quantum physics and using neuroscience to create what you want to create. Anything, literally anything, whoever it is that you want to be, you have the power to be that person. And what I really wanted to talk about today is the power of change and what is required to change. And, you know, I'm a certified mindset coach, and I hear a lot of people say, oh, just think differently. Yeah, you have a choice. Just think differently. And you do. You have a choice to make. You have the choice on how you want to show up. You have the choice on how you want to perceive things. You have a choice on how you choose to react to things. And that is all mindset. And I was speaking to a friend the other day. We both saw a post from the holistic psychologist. You probably know her on Instagram. And she was talking about trauma through the lens of being able to heal certain traumas. It was on her ADHD post, and that actually often being diagnosed instead of being diagnosed with CPTSD. So there's a lot of the same signs and symptoms in somebody who has CPTSD from trauma in their life. So that's complex post-traumatic distress syndrome. So something that was caused, this we see with a lot of children who are neglected in one way or another. Doesn't always have to be abuse, but something happened or whatever the traumatic event is. I won't go on and on about that, but the symptoms that they project as adults are the same as ADHD. And so that's the link, I think, to why so many women are being diagnosed with ADHD. I'm like totally off track here, but this is something I've been thinking about a lot lately. And I was speaking to a friend about it, saying, how come so many women are being diagnosed with ADHD all of a sudden? Like, it just it's uncanny to me. Where did this come from? You know, did we really miss all of these signs in girls growing up? Or are we being diagnosed with ADHD when we don't actually have it? And that is like triggering to say to somebody who's been diagnosed with or thinks they have ADHD. So I don't mean to offend anybody if that's you and you're listening, but could it be trauma instead? Are you somebody who maybe was never diagnosed with CPTSD? I'm trying to like picture the letters in my head as I say that so I don't mess it all up and jumble it. But are you? And if you are, could that be where your ADHD is actually coming from? Is it not even ADHD at all? Is it complex trauma that you can heal and let go of and release and reprogram the beliefs that came from that traumatic event and move forward? That's something to look into. That was a total side note, and I did not mean to derail off track there, but I record these podcasts with no show notes. I just kind of go at her. So the point that I was making is we were talking about how she says these are not lifetime diagnoses. And so many of us have been told that these are not things that you heal, you just kind of get used to. And she's saying, well, no, you can heal it. And so my friend and I were talking about this, and she said, you know, a lot of people who have either of those, ADHD or CPTSD, when you tell them that they can heal from that, it's very triggering because they don't feel like they can heal. They feel like they are in a diagnosis for life. And she said she used to feel that way, and now she feels like she can heal. And so I said, I think you can feel both ways. I think that depending on the day, you might like look at that and say, oh my gosh, like who does she think she is? I'm never going to heal from this. Like if you're not having a good day, if you haven't been having good weeks, if you're in a darker place, you're going to be thinking like, that's not realistic for me. I don't believe that. It's not true. Where if you've been having a bunch of really great weeks and you feel like you're making progress and you hear that and you're like, oh my gosh, healing is possible for me. So that's mindset, because that is the perception of how you look at it. It's the same thing said, and you can be a person who has both of those perceptions on the same topic, just depending on where your mind is that day. Is it a choice for you to say, oh, I can't heal from this after you've had 3 really bad weeks? I mean, sure, but we're human and we have emotions as well. So mindset isn't just deciding that you're going to think differently. It's not just showing up and being like, okay, well, you know, I just had a bunch of money taken out of my account and I'm just going to think really positively and it will all come back. That, while a great thought and it is a great practice to think positively and to trust that it's somehow going to work out and make its way back to you, it's not always good enough to say, okay, I'm going to trust this and I'm going to move forward. That's step one. So I'm not saying don't do that. Of course, you should think positively. But you have to be in a position where, first of all, you have the awareness to realize like, okay, I'm thinking really negatively right now. This isn't serving me. This is going to make me spiral. Like, how can I change this? That's the choice. The choice is to, one, first of all, you have to be in the awareness to even know that you're in that place and that you have the potential to change. And then the choice is that you're going to switch your thought to making a more positive statement in your head. But that is surface level. Like, we are just skimming the top. Because if you do not believe what you are saying, then you're not going to give yourself any credit. And who believes somebody who has literally no credit? I'm sure that you probably have that like one flaky friend who every time you invite her out somewhere, she'll be like, yeah, yeah, I'm going to come. And then when the day gets there, she's like, oh, I can't. And she cancels on you. You probably stop giving credit to her. You assume that every time you invite her, she's going to be a zero. Like, you don't even really count her on your guest list because you know that she's going to end up staying. So you don't give her credit. So if in your life, all you've had is money disappear, using that example, you know, money just disappeared from you and you're saying, oh no, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to work out. But all you know from past experience is that every time money comes in, money has disappeared. The belief that you have, what has been proven to you so far, is that every time money comes in, money disappears. So you can talk till your face is blue to yourself about how it's going to be okay. But if you do not work on that belief, the limiting belief that money disappears, which is one of our core money wounds. If you go back into our money episode with Emily, you will see that we talked about the money wounds, and money disappearing is one of those money wounds. And so if we don't address that, if we don't heal that wound, if we don't change the beliefs that are surrounding why our money is disappearing, it doesn't matter what choice you make to say more positive things. You have to believe it to be true in order for that to change. So what we want to do is we first want to identify the trigger. So for sticking to this example, we notice the pattern of money disappearing. It comes in and it goes too quickly. So we feel scared, shame, maybe we start to feel some guilt in that. Money always disappears, like what am I doing wrong? We start to panic, we worry, we feel anxiety. There's that lack of trust coming in. Like I might say I trust that money is going to be here, but I don't really trust that it's on its way. We start to lose hope. We probably grieve the loss of that money a bit. So really try to identify why this experience is making you feel those feelings. Because ultimately, we're dealing with a limiting belief. So if we haven't quite noticed that pattern yet, but every time a big expense came up, we keep getting these feelings coming in, we can start to ask ourselves why. And so this was one example, but there are so many limiting beliefs out there. So if you're noticing that you keep getting these less than stellar feelings coming in, really try to identify why you feel the way you feel. These are triggers. Triggers are like mirrors reflecting back to us what we need to look at and work on within ourselves. You know, a trigger is also something that we see in other people. So when we go back to feeling maybe envious, so say there is somebody in your friend group that you kind of feel frenemies with, like, yeah, she's your friend, but like you really feel envious of her. You're always judging what she's doing, the way she's showing up. Maybe she actually has like a lot of money, if we're sticking to this example. Maybe she always has money coming in and she's doing such great things with money. She lives in this amazing house. She's doing really great. And you're feeling a lot of feelings of lack around that. You feel there's envy there. I mean, for sure, you might not admit that you're like jealous of her because she's your friend, but you are at the core of it kind of jealous of what she has. And when we reflect back, when we judge her for certain things, it's a trigger and really a mirror into what you most want or what you see in yourself that you don't like. So it could be either of those, right? So when it comes to the jealousy thing, like when you look at people and you think like, oh my gosh, why does she have that car? Like that's my favorite car. If that's how you're looking at something, you know, that's not a great way to live your life, because you could have that car too. A better way to think about it is if she can do it, so can I. The people on the internet, the trolls that make quick judgments about people they know nothing about and the choices that they share and the beliefs that they have, which are generally positive beliefs that are helping people do a certain thing. But then you get those trolls who write really nasty comments to them. Those are triggers. Well, those people like really need to look inside themselves and why they're feeling that way towards somebody on the internet that they don't know, right? So in this first step, we just really want to identify our triggers and why we feel the way we feel when it comes to what is going on, the experiences that we're in, the scenarios that we're living, the friendships that we have, the people that we judge on the internet online. The more aware we can get, the more we're going to start to notice the patterns and be able to take that first step of changing our thought on how it's showing up. So the next step then is to look at what the limiting belief is. So again, sticking to this example, if we're looking at, okay, money always disappears, that's our belief. That's our core wound, is that we believe money always disappears because we've probably been conditioned through generations. And this belief started with our grandparents and maybe great, great grandparents. And it was passed down in two ways. So it's more than just our parents telling us, oh, every time money comes in, money goes out. Oh, sorry, we don't have enough money for this because the pay just came in, but all our bills had to be paid. Now the money's all gone again, right? So it's much more than that. What we are actually looking at is firstly called epigenetics. And they've literally proven on brain scans that we physically can pass trauma down. And so all the beliefs that are associated with those traumas get passed on to our kid and so on and so forth. So if four generations back, something very traumatic happened and, like, let's say all your money was taken away from you because back in your village, the kingdom collect royalties and they took everything, whatever it was, back in your grandmother's life, or it could even be a past life, but that's, I won't go into the science of that. We're just going to stick with genetics for this one. So back in your grandmother's life, that traumatic event happened to her and money disappeared. And then every time she got money in this little village of hers, they would come and collect royalties again. And so that's the pattern that she knew. That was what she was conditioned to believe. And so when she had babies, she physically passed that trauma. Like, remember, these brain scans, it shows up on these brain scans, passed it down to her children. And then they pass it down to their children. And so that is one of the ways that we pass down trauma and limiting beliefs. And the other way, of course, is just being spoken to about it. We're being shown in our own reality. We are, our parents are, their parents are. They've all been shown that money comes and money goes. Money comes and money goes. That's all they know. So money always disappears. But that doesn't make it true. It makes it true for you. But the fact that we're saying money always disappears, it's not true because it's not true for everyone. There are plenty of people in the world where money doesn't disappear for them. And what's different from those people compared to you? Well, they aren't more worthy or more deserving of you. They aren't better than you. And there's many rich people who are very good people, just like you are. The only difference is that they never had the experience that money always disappeared. And so they never carried that belief. What they believe instead is that money comes easily to them. When they invest or they spend money, it comes back to them in tenfolds. It's normal for money to go. They have no emotional attachment to it. Money likes to be taken care of so they can make smart financial decisions. And the biggest truth about manifesting is that it comes straight from our beliefs. If you believe as soon as money comes, it will disappear, then you are literally manifesting that it will disappear. Whatever we believe is what we're manifesting. So it's not enough to say, oh, I'm going to think differently about this. We have to work at our belief level. We have to change what we believe to be true. And so how do we do that? Well, we want to change our beliefs at the deepest level. It's not, again, as simple as saying money loves to stay with me, because if it was, we would all be drowning in money. If all we had to do was pronounce to the world and recite money loves to stay with me, none of us would be having money issues. The world would be rich. We would all be so successful and abundant. And our brains are like rubber. Better yet, they're like moldable clay. We can shape them and mold them. And that's the process called neuroplasticity. I guess it's not a process, but it's called neuroplasticity. So a good way to look at it, I really like this metaphor, is that if we were to imagine our brain was like a computer software. So each of the neural pathways are made up of little codes. So just like software, you can rewrite the code when you access the subconscious level of your mind. So how do we access the subconscious level? So we access the subconscious level of our mind through a variety of modalities and techniques. Some of these modalities focus more on a psychological context, where others are on the physiology and how we store our emotions in the body. And then some are a mix of both. Metaphysics and the subconscious mind also come into play when we give an idea a thought and open it. When we agree to believe in something that we cannot see or prove, it's a knowing that we are truly the creators of our own identity. If fear is an illusion and we dismantle the illusion, what happens to our lives when we realize that there is no fear at all? It's a very metaphysical approach to the subconscious mind. And so there are a few different modalities that we can actually use to access the subconscious mind. And I will go through them quickly so that you have an idea of not just how, but why they work. So hypnosis, and no, we are not talking about stage hypnosis. So nobody's going to make you cluck like a chicken when you are doing hypnosis. There was also a show on Netflix. I can't remember what it was called, but essentially this lady went to this hypnotist and he was inputting programming into her mind that was like messing her up and taking over her brain. And I think this was a long time ago when I watched it, but essentially he was like trying to make her fall in love with him as her hypnotist. But that is not even real life. Okay. You cannot hypnotize somebody who does not want to be hypnotized, and the suggestions have to be safe and positive. Your subconscious mind is not dumb at all. It knows that the difference between a healthy suggestion and something that would make you unsee. So please keep that in mind when you're talking about hypnosis. I know that I have clients who have been leery about trying hypnosis. They're unsure about the suggestion that you're going to put into their minds. And just rest assured that all hypnosis is actually self-hypnosis, and you would never, your subconscious mind would never let you hypnotize your itself. Like it wouldn't happen, okay? So seriously though, getting that all out in the open, when we're talking about hypnosis and what it actually is, it's simply a progressive relaxation to become more relaxed than you've ever known yourself to be. You're then guided to deepen that relaxation. So if you've ever done hypnosis before, you'll go down some steps a lot of the times, counting backwards from 10 to 1, entering a state of total relaxation and a hypnotic state. And when we are in a hypnotic state, we are entering what is known as the theta brainwave state. So that is 4 to 8 hertz. And when we enter this state, our consciousness is reduced, but it's still present. We are not completely out of it. And so this is a very creative time for our brain. Hypnosis creates thoughts and feelings that are so real that the body reacts biochemically to the suggestions that we are making. The subconscious mind also loves repetition. So the more often you tell it something, the more real it feels that it is. The subconscious mind actually doesn't know the difference between reality and imagined. So it doesn't matter what you say to it, it perceives it as true and real. It doesn't know the difference between made up. It doesn't consider the word not. So if you were trying to have a suggestion that said, I don't want to go into debt. I am not eating poorly. We wouldn't want to use those because the subconscious mind would say, I eat poorly. I go into debt. Like that's how it perceives it. So we always talk positively to the subconscious mind because everything you tell it, it takes as fact and true, which is so special about why it is so important and easy to work at the subconscious mind. Subconscious level. So another technique is called neuroenergetic encoding. And so each one of us encodes our memories and how we perceive the future differently and uniquely. So this is based on our own experiences that have shaped our beliefs. So with this technique, we can access our encoding timeline and either go back into the past, which is how we would release a limiting belief at the root cause, or we would place a goal into the future of our encoding by traveling forwards. So that's a really cool technique because we are using our encoding timeline to travel backwards and forwards to benefit our life today and into the future. EFT, emotional freedom technique, and or tapping, you may know it as. So tapping seems to be pretty mainstream right now. I see a lot of people talking about it as a growth tool. And what is really cool about tapping is that you don't need any fancy training to tap. So unlike hypnotherapy, where there's a lot more that goes into hypnotizing someone and being able to do that properly, we're looking at, say, for example, the difference between a visualization and a hypnosis session, for example. Very similar, but different. Hypnosis works in a different ways, and there's a lot more that goes on in the creating of a hypnosis script and the way the language that we use, and like I just explained about not using negatives, the way that we talk, the way that we use our language and our tonality. There's a whole bunch of different things. So unlike that, tapping just requires knowledge of the meridian points to tap on and then the suggestions that you want to use. So there is a proper method to EFT to use in different capacities. So say if you wanted to release a negative emotion or belief, there is a proper setup and a form to follow where you would go through. And on a scale of 1 to 10, let's say you are feeling really guilty. And so you want to release that feeling. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how guilty are you feeling right now? Oh, I'm feeling like a 7. Okay, well, we want to get to like a 2 to a 0 before we tap in positive affirmations. So what we would first do is tap out the feeling of guilt. So there's different strategies that you would use. Even though I'm feeling really guilty right now, I deeply and completely love, trust, and accept myself. Even though X experience made me feel a lot of guilt, I deeply and completely love, trust, and accept myself. So you would go through saying that as you tap on your meridian points, which you could do a quick Google search to find if you're interested in learning more about tapping. You can also join our free Facebook group with a link in the show notes. Of course, also our paid membership, which has tapping videos for you to follow. But speaking of just learning how to do EFT on your own, you can find the meridian points just about anywhere. Like I said, join our free Facebook group and I can help you as well. So we would release that. And then once we evaluate again and we say, okay, I'm feeling less guilty now on a scale of 1 to 10, where am I at? Oh, I'm a 4. Okay, I'm going to keep doing these programming to program out a guilt, to release that guilt. And then once you are at least a 2 or less, then you can go ahead and say whatever the opposite of how you were feeling is. So let's say you felt guilty about a situation, you would say something like, that situation wasn't my fault. I release the guilt and feel X instead. There's nothing I could have done to control that situation, or I did the best that I could with the information that I had is a really good one for guilt. And then just go through and tap in until you're feeling really good and positive with the opposite of however you felt before. So if you work with somebody trained, if you want to release certain things, that is definitely helpful. But honestly, one of my favorite ways to tap is to just tap intuitively and insert positive affirmations. Instead, I rarely use it to actually release emotions, but I just have released most of my emotions and I can move through them pretty quickly. But if there's something that you're stuck on, it's a really good tool to use. And the next technique is anchoring. So anchoring is a neurolinguistic programming technique where a stimulus is linked to a response. So essentially that means that we can create the response we want in our body by stimulating a sense. So you know how a certain smell will bring you right back to a memory and it feels like you are experiencing it all over again. Like the smell of copper tone sunscreen brings me immediately back to the summertime as a child. And it brings up all those feelings of like fun and freedom and joy and adventure. That is an unintentional anchor. So we have unintentional anchors that happen in our lives, and we also can create intentional anchors. So we would create, or we would call up a past memory, and we really feel into that memory. We see what we saw, we feel what we felt. We really go right back down into that memory so that we can really feel the feelings, see what we saw, really be there again, be immersive in it. And that memory elicits the feeling that we're trying to call on. And then we can anchor that feeling in our body. So when we tap on that spot on the future of our body and we anchor it into, we immediately bring up those feelings. This tool is especially great if you are wanting to embody the version of the future you. So let's say the future you always feels really calm. She's trusting. She's abundant and feels abundant. And she feels really focused. If you in this timeline are having a really hard day and you're off track and you really just want to get back on track and less overwhelmed and really get back into becoming your higher self, you can simply just tap on those feelings wherever you created the anchor. So I often teach you to do it on your knuckles, for example. So it's like you're creating a little button of your higher self. So you simply tap on it and you just immediately feel a wash of wave of those feelings just kind of wash over you. So my chair is so squeaky. I apologize if you can hear that in this recording. The next technique that we do a lot is the swish pattern technique. So this is another NLP technique, and it's the one where, if you've heard me talk about it before, we create new habits instantly. So by curating the future identity of the version who holds these habits, we're able to actually step into this version. We work directly with the identity level of self rather than trying to create like little actions and behaviors that require willpower and motivation to create consistency with. So we use the subconscious mind to get very clear on who we are as this future version and the way we show up, what we see, what we hear, how it feels. And then we use some modalities to make that picture even more real and even more clear. So we then swish out the old version that we want to change and make the new version explode big and bright in our minds. Eventually, we can no longer see the old pattern. So it's called the swish pattern because we're literally swishing out the old and in with the new, and it works in your brain. And the way that we do the technique, we really identified the way we want this new identity to look so that it best fits into our reality. It's a really good one. Literally, you'll just start... like your habits are, you change your behavior. You do the technique and the next day all your habits are part of who you are, and it has nothing to do with consistency or even trying. It's just part of who you are. And that's the whole point. It's an identity change, not a behavioral change when we work with swish pattern. So another one, this is one of my favorites, and I don't get to do it very often because it really does need to be done one-on-one with clients and not necessarily in the format of audio or video that's pre-recorded, but it's called mapping across. Mapping across is also NLP and some modality driven. So we use this technique to change the way we store information in our brain. So if you picture your mind looking like a bunch of different filing cabinets, we can map across one piece of information and store it differently in our brain so that we feel differently about that thing. So for example, if you want to start eating leafy greens, but you really don't like them, you can actually move it into a compartment in your mind of vegetables that you do like, right? So you have like a little box that says like vegetables I like, and you're moving leafy greens from vegetables I don't like into vegetables I do like. And it works both ways. So if you love coffee or candy, or maybe you're drinking too much wine, so you know that these are things that you really enjoy, but you want to enjoy them less because you know they're not serving you or your habits or your goals that you want to create, we can take something that you do like and map it across to something that you don't like. It doesn't even have to be something that you hate. It can just be something that you're kind of indifferent to, that like you wouldn't go out of your way for, but you also don't want to like completely give up. So let's say you drink a lot of red wine and you really want to stop drinking red wine, any kind of like sparkling wine, but you can only drink a glass or two because it's so bubbly and sugary and it's just not your favorite. So you could map red wine across to sparkling wine, where you still will drink it, but you wouldn't really go out of your way to buy it or to drink it all the time, but like you would drink it on a special occasion. So you can definitely do that. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I dislike it, I'm never going to have it again. So keep that in mind as well. This works really good too if you like coffee a lot, but it gives your stomach, like, because you upset them and you don't want to drink it anymore, but you're in such a habit of drinking coffee and you have a little bit of an addiction to it. It gives you headaches if you try to stop. You can actually map your coffee across to something like, let's say you don't like tea at all, you could map it across to tea. Or like if you don't like sugary lattes, you could map it across to something like that. So it's a really cool technique where you can just make changes by literally changing where you store information and how your brain processes that. One of my favorite techniques, and it takes like 5-6 minutes to actually do. So another one is the single belief change using submodalities. So again, we're using submodalities, and this is the same kind of process as mapping across, except we're changing belief. So it's a little bit of a longer process, but essentially we take a belief that we don't want to have anymore and we map it to a belief that we know is no longer true. So this could be something like, I'm 34, so I know that I'm not 18. Like, I was 18 at one time, so it was true, but it's not true anymore. So we're going to map the belief that I don't want to have to the belief that I used to believe was true but is no longer true. And then we take a belief that we want to have instead. So this is the ideal version of us stepping into it. So it's usually the opposite of the belief you don't want. Like, to keep it simple, your belief you don't want is that money never comes to me. I'm broke. I have no abundance, whatever. The belief you want is that money flows so easily to you. I am so abundant. Money just comes to me all of the time. So now we're going to take the belief that we do want and we're going to map it across to a belief that we know for sure is true. So this is usually more factual based, like I'm a mom. I know that I'm a mom 100%. I'm a mom. I gave birth. I'm a mom. That's without a doubt a true belief. So I'm going to map the abundance belief to the belief that I'm a mom. And this technique is really cool because, unlike using neural energetic encoding where we're releasing, that's a great technique. It's one of my favorites, but we're only releasing. This technique releases and reprograms at the same time. So it's a really cool one to do. And the benefit is that you're kind of killing two birds with one stone. So sometimes when we do a lot of releasing, we feel like a void or like something is missing. So when we are able to also reprogram in the same technique, then it's just like a bonus. And so the last technique that I want to talk about here today is parts integration. And so this is a technique that we use if we have two conflicting parts. So they're in conflict with each other. One part of us wants one thing and one part of us wants another thing. So you would use this technique if sometimes you feel like you want to go in one direction, but then you're unsure. And sometimes you want to go in another direction. And really, you just kind of feel stuck and you're like paralyzed where you are and you're not taking any action. So what you're actually causing is inaction because your internal parts are conflicted with each other. And so you don't move in any direction because you are in fear of taking the wrong action. And so this technique works to integrate these parts together, which allows us to feel whole and aligned. So we essentially show our conscious mind how both parts ultimately want the same things for us, and it's okay for them to work together. And so this works at the subconscious because we just let our unconscious mind take over and sort out the conflicts that it has. So those are the ways that you can access the subconscious level of the mind. They're super easy techniques. Honestly, most of them, hypnosis often takes about 20 minutes, but most of these techniques take about 8 minutes to do. And it's instant lasting change. So you do the neural energetic encoding technique and all of a sudden you start feeling differently. You perceive the world differently. You show up differently. because you no longer have that one belief that has been holding you back. When you do mapping across, all of a sudden, you start to like kale. You're not even trying, but you're like, I can really go for like a kale Caesar salad tonight. Oh, maybe I should add some like leafy greens into my tomato sauce. It's just a part of your identity and who you are. And the difference truly is that you are not trying to make conscious level change by, you know, changing your actions or doing something differently. It is just different because you've changed the way you think about who you are. The way you see yourself has changed. You now are somebody who likes kale. You've literally made a change. So now you like kale. And why would you even think about having to add it to your dinner when you love kale and you want to add it to your dinner? It's no longer like a hassle or something where you're like, well, maybe I should do it, even though you don't really want to. You just do it. It's just part of who you are. So many of these techniques just change the way you show up. And honestly, I get so passionate about this, but it's so hard to explain until you try it. When all of a sudden you start showing up differently, you're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like I just have been doing things differently this week. I didn't even realize it. Like it's a week happens and you look back and you're like, oh, hey, I just realized I didn't have coffee all week. Or like, hey, I actually got on my exercise bike like every single day this week and I didn't even think about it. I just did it. It was just part of who I am and I just got on there. It's part of my day. I didn't think about it. I didn't contemplate it. I just did it. And when you show up differently, that is what's making actual change. So no, you cannot just say, I'm going to think differently about this and expect change. You have to change your beliefs about something. You have to let go of old beliefs. You have to move into new beliefs. You have to take on a new identity of the person that you want to become. You have to embody her. You can't just think about it. You can't just say, oh, future me would decide to work out. Okay, but are you going to? That's great that your future version of you would work out right now. But does current version of you work out? Is current version of you going to go get on her bike? Or is she going to prioritize something else instead? You can't just think about it. You actually have to make the change. And so if you are ready to actually make change, to not just think about it, not just say you're going to change your mindset and try to make a choice, if you want to actually make subconscious level change so you can step into the identity and embody the future version of you that you want to become, you can do it for just $47 a month. So easy, so accessible. All you do is sign up for the membership and you have access to a plethora of audio and video techniques waiting for you. And that is not all. As a member of the Highest Self Academy, you also get one-on-one coaching with me. You get to sign up for one coaching call per week. I mean, you cannot find that anywhere else. Have you ever looked into the cost of a coaching program where you work one-on-one with a coach? Because you're not going to get it for $47. You get 4 20-minute one-on-one sessions, which is long enough for us to do a specific technique. It's long enough for me to guide you through what you should be working on that week, or little gems that you can find, or homework that you should do so you can stay on track of your goals, so you can step into that identity. For $47 a month, you get to be part of a community of supportive women who have the same goals as you, who want the best in their life, who are actively working on healing who they no longer want to be so they can step into the best version of themselves. All the information is in the show notes. Please feel free to reach out to me. You can do that over on Instagram. Just send me a DM. I am always available to chat. I love to speak with new people, to chat. No commitment. If you want to just let me know what you thought about the show, if you want to have any questions, if there's something specific you want to know about working at the subconscious level, manifesting, stepping into your future identity, any of those things, please ask me questions. If you have any questions about the membership, ask me questions. If you just have any comment. I can't wait to hear from you. I genuinely love to connect with like-minded women. So if that is you, please head over to my Instagram account and let's do that. Let's connect. And lastly, if you loved this podcast episode, if you loved this podcast in general, please give it a like, a save, give me a rating. That would be so fantastic because it helps the algorithms show our show to other people. And my mission is to help women rise. So the more women that we can reach, the more women we can help rise and step into their ultimate best selves and future identities. And when one woman rises, we all rise together. So please, if you can, give us a little rating and share our podcast if you think there's anybody that can benefit from it. And I will see you in the next episode.